You do have an abundance of preachers in the congregation today. It's good to have the Reverend Ian Harris from our Annalong congregation. And we have also Mr. Maxwell. So therefore, I wondered at the start what I was doing here. But we're glad to be here. We're glad to welcome Mr. Harris and young people that he is in charge somewhere in this vicinity, and we're glad to see them here with us today, and we welcome them warmly and trust the Lord will bless and encourage them and all of us as we open up the scriptures and preach the word of the Lord. Our text is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. And it is in keeping with John chapter 8, verses 32 and 36. In Galatians 5, verse 1, we read, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And in John 8, we read in verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in verse 36, we read, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So I want to speak this morning on the glorious liberty of the gospel. And first of all, we'll bow together in prayer and we'll seek the Lord's help at the throne of heavenly grace. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, we turn now to thy word, and we thank thee for the Bible, and for an open book before us, and for civil and religious liberty, and our glorious Protestant heritage. Gracious Father, we praise thee for the blessings that the gospel has given to us. And Lord, we thank thee for those who have labored before us, and we now have entered into their labors. And we pray that we too might be faithful in our day and seek to hand down to others in a coming generation the blessings of the gospel that we enjoy. Do God our Father, help us now as we open the book and as we turn to the Word. We pray for the Holy Spirit's anointing, and that we might have an ear to hear, a heart to understand, and a will to obey thy voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible record of the gospel being received in the city of Samaria in Acts chapter 8 and verses 5 to 8, we have the ending of that glorious account in the words, "And there was great joy in that city." There was great joy in that city. And of course, the gospel always brings joy to the heart and to a community and to those who receive it. The joy in that city was the legacy that was left behind after a time of special blessing and of special ministry. 500 years ago, the great Protestant Reformation took place, and it left behind in the countries of Europe and in these nations of the home countries a tremendous legacy and great blessing. What was left behind after the blessings of the Reformation? What was left behind after times of great visitation from heaven, when God moved mightily and stirred up hearts, changed lives and communities and countries even. Thank God for the blessings that remain. In answer to that question, it would require volumes to give an adequate answer. And even in one message, we could never deal with the answer to that question adequately. Freedom follows the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he went. And freedom follows the gospel of Christ wherever it is preached. Communities, countries that receive it, enjoy glorious liberty, glorious freedom, and there's great joy as a result of the preaching and of the receiving of the Word of God. The life that Christ touches by his grace and by his power is brought into glorious liberty. And I trust that in this house today, that many of us have already experienced that glorious liberty of the gospel of Christ. What was the effect in the countries of the Reformation where the gospel was received? Without doubt, I believe that it may be justly stated that the legacy of the Reformation in the countries that received it in Europe was one of great spiritual freedom. Whereas before, there was darkness, there was bondage, and there was great binding by the devil and by sin. The yoke of bondage that had burdened many was removed, and many received the truth of the Word of God, and as such, they were gloriously emancipated. If Christ came to give freedom, then that denotes that men are in bondage. All men are born servants of sin and to sin, born in sin and shaping iniquity. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, we read these words, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." In those verses, we have the past and the present of the child of God. The child of God was once a servant of sin, given to the lusts of his or her depraved nature, and served those lusts until Christ delivered him or her by the power of his grace, regenerating and making anew, being born again, and brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank God for the liberty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the text in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, we have first of all the author of this liberty. It mentions the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. So therefore, Christ is the one who sets men free. It was Christ who set multitudes free at the time of the great Reformation of the 16th century. It was Christ who set multitudes free during the preaching of the apostles in the early New Testament church. And it was Christ who set many free from sin during the start of the Free Presbyterian Church in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. It was the Lord Jesus. It was He who sets the prisoner free. He purchased freedom with His blood. And that's why He sets us free. He has purchased our freedom with His blood. Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. And in Revelation 5, verse 9, we're told that they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. The author of liberty is Christ, who has purchased our freedom with His own precious blood. He not only has purchased our freedom with His blood, but He leads us to freedom by His word. By His word. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, we read, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is God's word, is the Bible. The word that is given to us, the charge given to Paul as a preacher of the gospel to sinners was to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Under the instruction of God's word, a sinner finds life and is led to liberty. That's how it was when we came to Christ. We learned the word. We heard it preached. And we were taught our need. And we saw the answer to that need in the word. And we thank God that Christ not only has purchased our freedom by His blood through His death upon the cross, but He leads us to freedom through the preaching of His word. There's no other way. Thank God, the preaching of the word of God during the great Protestant Reformation opened the eyes of many, released many prisoners, and turned many from darkness to light. And this word is still the same, and it's the power of God, and it still turns men's hearts away from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is Christ the author of our liberty by purchasing our freedom by His blood, by leading us to freedom through His word, but He keeps us in this freedom by the grace of His Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, we read these words. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And so in surrendering to His leading, we are led into further liberty, and we enjoy greater liberty. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Let us who are the Lord's today yield to the rule of God in our lives. That is, yield to what the Word of God teaches us. And by obedience to that word, we will find
a guide for life and a lead into further enjoyment of the liberties of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for what our Savior has done for us. He is the author of liberty. He purchased it for us by His blood. He leads us into it by His word, and He sustains us in it by the grace of His Spirit abiding in our lives. We also have the nature of this liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is a spiritual liberty. It is a liberty of soul, a liberty of spirit, a liberty of heart, and a liberty of mind. And we enjoy this liberty in all of these aspects because of what Christ has done for us. We were once imprisoned, but Christ has opened the prison doors for us. Just like Peter in Acts 12, when the angel came down and smote him on the side and awakened him and took him out of the prison. The Lord from heaven has come down and He has died for us. And through this smiting of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we were awakened to see our need. And praise God, He has led us out through the prison doors into freedom and into liberty. And thank God for that joy and liberty which we experience today. We think of the reformers back in those days. We think of Hugh Latimer, Nicholas Ridley, who were burned and at the stake during the reign of Queen Mary, otherwise called Bloody Mary. Latimer's words to Ridley are famous. They are familiar, and I trust will always be familiar. He said to Ridley, he says, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." He said that as they were at the stake burning, encouraging his fellow martyr, "Play the man, be of good courage." Here were two men, oh yes, persecuted, condemned to die, being martyred for their faith. And yet the very expression of Latimer at the stake expresses liberty of soul, of heart, of mind. Here's a man, though being bound to the stake and burned by the fire, is experiencing the liberty of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was at more liberty that day? The two men bound to the stake or those who tied them to the stake? I dare say you'll have to confess it was the two men burning at the stake, Ridley and Latimer. They found their peace and liberty in Christ. Thank God today for the liberty that we have. It is a freedom of condemnation from the law. Listen to Romans 8 and verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. It is a spiritual liberty. We were once condemned. We were on our way to hell. But by divine intervention, we were delivered from that pathway. And now on our way to heaven, we are assured by the word of God that there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The hymn writer said, "The wrath of a sin-hating God with men can have nothing to do. My Saviour's obedience to blood hides all their transgressions from view." Because in the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, our transgressions are hidden from view, there is no condemnation to the believer in Christ. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from the power of sin as well. In Romans 6 and 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." The word dominion means lordship or kingship. Sin no longer rules. Sin no longer reigns. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." The believer is not left to try and forge a pathway of holiness through this life and through the corruptions of this life. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ has made that way. And thank God we follow him. There is triumph and victory over sin and over the world and over the devil. We thank God today for that victory in Christ. There's also freedom from the fear of death. Hebrews 2, we read, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death," pardon me, "he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You see, death holds no terrors for the child of God. Oh yes, you may worry about death coming up sometime in the future. But when the time comes, you will discover that death will hold no terror for you, child of God. Death will hold no terror. What have I to fear? What have I to dread? Leaning on the everlasting arms. It's good to be leaning on Christ. The child of God doesn't have to fear. For this God is our God forever and forever. And he will be our guide, says the psalmist, even unto death. And the child of God has a friend in life, and he has a friend in death as well. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The Lord is our shepherd, and he will shepherdize his people over the river to the other side. And his rod and his staff will be our comfort as we pass through the valley of the shadow. Freedom from condemnation. Freedom from the fear of death. And freedom from sin. Thank God for the nature of this liberty we have in Christ. But then there is the threat to this liberty. It's a real one. There's a threat to our Protestant liberties today. There's a threat to our Reformation heritage today. There's a threat to the liberties that the gospel has brought to us, our fathers and forefathers, over many years. There's a real threat today. A real threat through the enemy of the gospel of Christ. Look, it says here that be not entangled again, suggesting that we may be entangled. We may be entangled. The yoke may be slipped upon us once again, and we find ourselves once more in bondage, fettered. And I believe our land today and our nation stands on the threshold of that fear of being fettered once more by bondage and superstition and falsehood and all kinds of things imposed upon us by the enemy of the Word of God. There is a threat to our national liberty. It is posed by the rise of Romanism through the floodgates opened by those who deceitfully occupy Protestant pulpits, leading our Protestant people astray down a road of false ecumenism, into false union, and into a false religion. That threat is real. It's real. We see it in our own little province. We're just back from Yorkshire, having spent 3 weeks in the church in Bridlington, and we can see that threat marching on in the land of England. There were, over a certain period, a report was given where there were 500 Protestant churches closed down. During the same period, some 432 mosques were opened in England. There's a real threat to our liberty. And we're to stand fast. And we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And we are to serve the Lord Christ. And to witness for Him. And by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can stem the tide of evil. We can close out the enemy. That's the only way. That's what happened in New Testament times. Oh yes, there was persecution. There were multitudes martyred for the faith. That's what happened in Reformation times. Again, there was persecution. People were martyred for the faith. But through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, come what may, men were liberated. Countries were liberated. And freedom was given. Thank God, this method is still the same through the preaching and the upholding of God's laws and of God's truth. And by God's grace, standing up and contending earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. May we be found part of that contending. And may we never slacken, but may we ever be faithful to our God. And there's a threat to our personal freedom. It is posed by our old enemies. Who are our old enemies? They are threefold, aren't they? There's the world, and there's the flesh, and there's the devil. The child of God is commanded to remain separate from sin. Holiness. We don't hear a lot about holy living today. About separation from sin. About being different from the world. Failure to obey the command of God's word results in the loss of liberty. Failure to stand faithful to the truth will result in a loss of our freedom. Was this not what happened to Samson? He failed to maintain his stand for truth, for purity, and for holiness. And what happened to him? He lost his freedom. He was eventually bound and fettered, with his eyes gouged out. And at last, he was tied to the pillars of the home of Dagon, the god of the Philistines. And God granting him a last request to give him strength to bring down those pillars upon the gods of the Philistines. Oh, we can lose our freedom. There's a tremendous threat. David lost his freedom for a while through his sin of adultery, his failure to keep the commandments of God, his failure to obey God's truth. And David lost his freedom. He groaned, he moaned, and his bones felt as if they were breaking all the time. He was in a terrible state, having, as a result of sin and disobedience to God's word, lost his freedom. It can happen to any of us. Let us take heed where we stand today, lest we fall. Let us look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can keep us from falling. If left to myself and to my own devices, I would fall in the gutter. I would go down like an empty sack. And I need my eyes ever fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to ever look to him. He is the author of my faith. He is the finisher of my faith. And praise God, in between the author and the finisher, he's the keeper of my faith. And therefore we need to look to him at all times. Otherwise, even as a church, we could become like the church at Laodicea, of whom it was said by the Lord Jesus Christ, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." You see, pride came into that church, and it became puffed up, and it became careless, and lost its vision of Christ, and its goal of holiness and service for the Master, with the result that it lost its liberty. And that church at Laodicea is no longer in vogue. Long ago, it lost its testimony. And that's possible to happen again. We need to be vigilant. We need to be watchful. We need to be wakeful in these apostate days, in these ecumenical days, in these days of great spiritual decline. We need to be watchful. We need to be spiritually discerning the spirit of the times, with our eyes upon the Lord and looking to him to enable us to be faithful to the end. Then there is the preservation of our liberty. We are commanded to stand fast in the liberty. That means we must exercise our liberties.
We must make use of the benefits that we have in Christ, else we lose them. Neglect our liberties and all that is ours in Christ, and we will surely lose it all. When God sees his blessings despised and discarded, even amongst his people, he removes those blessings and takes them away from his people. We need to stand fast in the liberty which we presently enjoy. Stand fast in prayer. How many have deserted the prayer meetings? How many have turned their backs upon prayer and no longer exercise their liberty in prayer? Friend, God will take that away from you. Exercise your liberty by standing fast in the Word. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Again, neglect the cost of the Word of God. Neglect has cost many the taking away of the Word of God. We live in an age in which we have many new translations of Scripture. And people all the time are neglecting the old-fashioned authorized version. And I was in a shop recently and somebody came in and asked for a Bible, and I was saddened when the person behind the counter asked the question, "What version do you want? And there should only be the one, the tested and tried and faithful, old-fashioned, authorized King James Version of the Scriptures. And I believe that there's a move on by the enemies of the truth of God, and by our neglect of the truth of God, of the Word of God, that Word can be removed from us. Stand fast in service. Whatever service it is that God has called you to, let it be children's work, young people's work, witnessing in the open air, giving out gospel tracts, going down into the south of Ireland. Whatever it is that God has given you to do, oh, don't neglect it. Don't despise it. Don't leave it. Because God can take away the liberties that we have of preaching the gospel today. Thank God for the liberty to preach the gospel on both sides of the border. And let us exercise our gospel right to preach that word and to teach sinners the way of salvation and pointing them to Jesus Christ. Stand fast in contending for the faith. Let's never give up. Beloved, Jude says in verse 3 of his epistle, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Thank God for this church, our denomination. And we look back over the years, and there has been in the past much contending for the faith. May God help us to continue to contend and to stand up for the crown rights of Jesus Christ and to seek to exalt the Master and to glorify his name in the contending for the gospel. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. For whomsoever the Son sets free, they are free indeed.